hello everybody, and welcome to another special edition of the NPL show. This week, we're talking about wingers. And joining me here to wing this particular debate, thanks.
Hey.
James Hayes is here, TGOT, social media officer from the Northern Premier League.
Afternoon, Ben.
Berkey's here from 26-0.
Hi, Ben.
Non-league reporter from Cheshire, Andrew Simpson's here.
Hello, Ben, I can't see any right wingers on my screen.
No, that's true. And joining me so far left wing, he's actually in the dressing room. It's Swampair. Hello.
Oh, good afternoon. Yes, sir.
Bit of politics there, combined with football. Oh, always healthy. But I have to say, another disclaimer at the start of this. This has been the most difficult one of the four shows we've done so far to research, because not many clubs play wingers anymore.
No, and of course, what the listeners don't know is we had a big debate about this at the end of last week's show.
I included some of it. The problem is that to do a radio show like this, I needed two players in a particular position, because otherwise we'd have one striker, wouldn't we? Yeah. And we all know who that one striker probably will be. So we needed to do a show having two players when we talk about strikers. So that's why we've come up with two wingers.
I think it's a bit convoluted, that, Benny. Well, the reason why we're talking about wingers is because basically you wanted a 4-4-2 system and impose that upon the rest of us. And therefore, we've had to go with this winger idea. And as you say, I said Carlos Roca should be in there. But apparently, you know, players that haven't played for 10 years are included. It's ridiculous. Because there are very few. And then when you do have players that play not all the time out on the wing, but when they play on the wing, they're outstanding, like Alex Curran. I get told he's not a winger. So this debate is, well, it should take about 5 minutes. And that's why you got me on as a filler to actually just, you know, spend an hour talking about nonsense rather than wingers.
Now,
Trumpet, don't you know your place?
Just another disclaimer, other than the fact that not many clubs play wingers anymore. None of this means anything. Whoever we decide to play right wing or left wing, they're getting no reward, no award. Nothing. This is just a bit of discussion.
Have we had any stick yet, or are people happy with our choices?
People are generally happy. You mentioned Carlos Roca, Swampet. Neil Pearson got in touch to say a good wingers, Barry Howard and Phil Wilson. They played for Runcorn in the late 70s. Very special. There you go.
Believe it or not, Ben, in the late 70s, that team, that Runcorn team you're talking about, my father played for.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah. No, seriously. He left Runcorn and went to play for Netherfield.
So, without further ado, let's jump in with both feet into the list.
Atherton calls. You've got Gaz Pete, who's been at the club for 10 years. Been a fantastic servant. He should get a longevity award. Really, he's been with the club through the rise, through the division. Played from at step six, step five, step four, step three now. And he's not looked out of place at all this season. At Matlock, you've got Pitsu Cruz, who I prefer him as a substitute, coming on, because he's absolutely rapid. He comes off the bench and can tear teams apart. Tired legs, do not like coming up against him at all.
Just a mention for Curtis Morrison as well. He moved to Grantham and featured heavily there after the New Year's. Let's talk about Ashton United. Burkett, I'll come to you, Ben Hardcastle. Record signing for the Tameside club, and we should say he's in your top list. Why Burke?
Well, for the same reason that he was top of Cleggie's list when he went over to Ashton. He had to surround himself with players who'd buy into his philosophy, and the obvious place to go was, of course, his old club, Atherton Calls, and those players that he brought up through the ranks from being very young. I mean, Ben Hardcastle will have made his debut for Calls, I think he was probably 17 or something like that. And he trusts Cleggie. Cleggie trusts Ben Hardcastle as well. And he's an exciting young winger. Plenty of years in the tank still. He's fast. He's got a trick in his locker. And he'll improve. He'll continue to improve as long as he continues to apply himself and continue to learn the game and learn from those around him too. He's got a lot more experienced players who played at a much higher level at Ashton United than will have played at Coles before. And it's going to be a really, I think it's going to not be a make or break season for him, but it could be a breakthrough season for him, where people around the league really sit up and start to take notice of him. He was in the team of the year a couple of seasons back in the first division, and I wouldn't say he's every chance he can be in team of the year next season, but there's an opportunity there.
It's tricky, difficult to know what to expect from Ashton next season, is it? Because they were lauded this season as being, right, they're going to challenge straight away to go straight back to National League North. It was a complete disaster from that perspective. And in the end, they kind of limped to the end of the season happy that they didn't get relegated. And it's going to be quite tricky to kind of know where we hang our hat when we look at what Ashton might do next season.
Let's talk about Radcliffe, James. Hello. Tyrese Sinclair.
And it's a tough one to say this. I was wondering if Morgan Callum at all, because he's only played up till New Year's Day.
I know, but the same could be said for Radcliffe.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, good. Sinclair, I think we have to say, I mean, if he'd stayed beyond New Year, it might have been a different story at Radcliffe. Do you reckon that's true, or can we not?
I think it's just a case of Mansfield wanted to see what he could do. He was showing it at this level, and week in, week out, he was top performer. New Year's Day, especially against FC Unov, wasn't Radcliffe's day that day. But that the pace on him, I've not seen any defender keep up with him at all throughout the season. It's a shame we never got to see what he could do at base, because he did spend a little bit of time there. But before he could get his first game for him, Mansfield Town, when he called him back to go play in the Football League. But a little bit, I don't think we can count him as like the Puddle League's team.
100% right. I mean, I think any player that comes in to a club, and if they say an entire season and they've come from a league club or, you know, a national league team, and they spend a whole season with a football club, I think they can be included. I think anyone that comes in and spends half a season from a league club, undoubtedly you know the quality of the player, and it's just really a question of where they can adapt and they can work, and he certainly could, and he had bags of pace, great quality, and on his day, superb.
Just got to say, Marcus Dinanger, he was in the team of the year a couple of seasons ago from when he was on loan from, where I can't, Burton, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
he deserved, absolutely fully deserved to be in it. He was brilliant. I get the feeling with Tyrese Sinclair, he's another one who was just too good for this division. He was only in the division because his dad happened to be at Radcliffe at the same time. If his dad had been in at Curzon, for the sake of argument, he'd have been there.
Moving away from Radcliffe, and I come to Witton Albion. I've got Danny McKenna written down, Simo, and James Foley over on the left. Would that be a fair assessment of Witton Albion this year?
Yeah, they are one of these teams, and it was a recurring theme, and you kind of touched on it at the start of the show, where Witton's midfield is very narrow. Danny McKenna signed for them as an attacking fullback from Runcorn Linnets, and when Albion is slightly more expansive, he does play in a wide position. He's had a little bit of an up and down season after being excellent last season. Foley, very similar, came as a central midfield player from Marine, and then has kind of drifted into a wide position so that Kyle can accommodate other guys in the middle, and then kind of Foley comes back inside again. But certainly neither of them would be a traditional winger in the sense that we're talking about. Although, topically, I was talking to somebody at Witton yesterday, and they were discussing transfer strategy for next season, and very much towards the top of their agenda is addressing the fact that they are such a narrow team. So it's interesting, we were talking today about trends and how teams have using attacking fullbacks. Some of the conversations at Winchon Park are that they need to address that. So they're actually going to be in the market for at least one winger, which was quite interesting.
Swamper.
And it's interesting, Andy, because it's a pitch which has got is wide and expansive as well. If you compare it to, let's say, Buxton, which is a narrow pitch, you can understand why Buxton perhaps have played more through the middle rather than actually down the wings. But certainly cries out for wingers at Witted, and the lush surface there as well is a great way of being able to play good football on a good surface with expansive wingers.
James Foley, Sim will correct me if I'm wrong here, but he's been out injured a lot, hasn't he, as well this season?
He got injured last summer, really quite a bad knee injury, and the prognosis was that it still is, I think, that he really needs to have an operation to correct the damage that's been done. So he gets full marks for kind of courage and sacrifice this season, because he's essentially played on one leg. But it was advised that he couldn't have made the injury any worse. So he kind of, you know, he made himself available, not the player that he was the season before when he was one of the team's best players. So hopefully he can come back firing on all cylinders when he gets that sorted out.
Swampett, I'll come to you for this next player. Spoiler alert, everyone. Nearly everyone voted for this player. Bamba Bridges, Ali Wadika. Well,
yeah. Listen, he's not only had a good season this season, he's had a good season for the last several seasons. He's only young, but he's just top draw. He brings a little bit of excitement. He brings a smile to supporters' faces, and he's also a team player, and he works well for the team. And as I say, he's got bags of talent. Perhaps if he keeps his head down and works hard, he's young enough to maybe go further up the pyramid. Either with if Bamba Bridge ever get promoted again, or indeed with a club within our division that may get promoted as well. But yeah, a no-brainer to stick him in, to be honest, because he's been performing at a high standard for the last several seasons I've seen him.
I do have to bring you back to a match where Bamba Bridge absolutely pulverised FC United towards the end of the last season. Richie Allen is also on the flanks at Bamba Bridge. Signed at Christmas. He was absolutely sensational, wasn't it? And he still got it.
FC were battered by Bamba Bridge. That was the weekend that I brought my Belgian FC fan club over and to enjoy the delights of Bamba. He did, to enjoy the delights of Bamba Bridge. They couldn't believe that coach could get down that narrow avenue into the ground, and they couldn't believe there was a ground at the end of the narrow avenue. Where are we going? We're going. But Richie Allen, goodness gracious, it was a privilege to watch him on that day. He was in his pomp. It was as if it was his swan song. It was his last game. It was like watching Zidane. He was just absolutely outstanding. Everything he did was on the ball, was outstanding. The balls he was putting through to players was outstanding. He was getting to the byline. He was whipping balls in. I mean, they could have at one stage. I think they missed probably about half a dozen chances. But he was the kingpin in that game. He was absolutely outstanding. And it was a masterstroke to get him in. He should be still, as far as I'm concerned, playing at a higher level. Yeah. And not being disrespectful to Bamba Bridge. But yeah, he's superb. And on the day, he was that was probably one of the best performances I've seen from an individual all of last season. He was magnificent.
Let's talk about Stalybridge. And I'll come to you, Simo, first, because you've put in your list Jonathan Oosterbassy.
Actually, Berkey gave him a shout-out as well. I think he just made a real impact when he came in earlier in the season. And that was a moment when I seen him play at Winchin Park. And I've seen him a couple of other times as well. Just kind of, is that little bit of a throwback of having that pace, that trickery. Gave them real dynamism in the final third. And obviously, they had Scott Backer up there as well, who'll get a shout-out, I'm sure, in a minute. So, made them quite exciting. When they had that really good start to the season, going into the autumn, and we were getting together, and they were regularly in the top eight of the Premier Division, and he was a real part of that. And he obviously made a big impact on the supporters at Bowerfold, because they voted him as their Player of the Year. The only caveat, I suppose, you would say is that, like lots of others in that team, he suffered a little bit from the pretty spectacular dip in form in the early stages of 2020, and that's a shame, but I don't think that's any reflection on him. I think just the size of the impact that he had in the early stage of the season means he was worth the shout-out and worth the inclusion in my top five.
Berkey, you have mentioned Scott Bakor as well in your list.
Yeah, he got converted to a winger a couple of seasons ago, and Simon Howarthy's really extracted the best from him, I think, out on the right wing. He's direct, he's pacey, he doesn't let up on the fullbacks. And I just think it'll be a real boon for Witten Albion next season. I think it's a masterstroke signing, and I really do. It'll be interesting to see where Stalybridge go from here, who they replace him with, whether they're going to change their style because they're losing him. I don't know what the situation is with Oosterbassy. But they've had to change their entire front, most of the front line for Stalybridge. So yeah, we'll see how it all comes out in the wash, but interesting time.
He's a good quarter player, Scott Bakor. Really is. He's one of those players that you know, when you're playing against him as a commentator, and even to be honest, as probably as a neutral, you're looking forward to watching him and seeing what he can do. And he always makes it difficult for defenders. So you can see some really good battles between good quarter defenders and Scott. And as I say, I think as you say, great signing for Witten, again, another player that's going to be played on a lush surface, good wide expansive surface. So again, you were talking about maybe, you know, having that width. Well, you've got a player that can create that on one side straight away. So great signing and a quality player.
Simo, speaking of quality players, let's go to Paddy Lane at Tide United. He's in your selection.
Yeah, and I'm staggered if no one else has got him in there, because if we're talking about talented, wingers who've got a big future in the game, then he's absolutely up there, and he's kind of on this upward curve at the moment. It's going to be really interesting to see what the next step of his career is going to be, because he's established himself over the past 18 months to 2 years now as a really good performer at this level. I don't think I've seen him have a bad game against Witten. But yeah, I'm just really excited to see guys like that thrive at this level and then hopefully see it be a springboard to something else. And I'm sure Hyde would love to keep hold of him, and Burke, you might give us some insight on that in a minute. But just a player that excites me, he just makes you enjoy the game when he's part of it. He's technically good, and you can see why he's attracted interest already from a higher level. He's at a very young age, though, so it'll be interesting. Should he just carry on playing more games at this level, or should he take that chance and go higher? That's the dilemma for him now, and it's important he makes the right choice, because so often I've seen players at clubs I've reported on, they have these breakthrough year or 2 years, and then they make a bad choice, and it sets them back. So that's really important now in kind of his next steps.
He could score direct from corners. He did it a few times last season, and it's not a fluke. He is actually going for it. He's got that kind of skill. He was released by Blackburn when he was 15 because he was too small, which is just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, but it's the truth. He ended up coming down to Hyde United's academy and tore the place up. He made his debut 18 months ago against Staley Bridge, actually, and never left the first team. After that, he was just outstanding. He struggled at the start of this season just gone. He was carrying a bit of a knock, and it took him a couple of months to really get into his stride. But once he did, he was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And he had all the scouts around him. He went on trial at Stoke City. Everyone at Hyde is so proud of him. He's only 18 still, but he's got 50-odd games under his belt. And you're looking at who would you rather have in your team if you're a National League side? Some young kid from an academy of the Premier League side who's never played a first-team game of, you know, proper men's football, or some lad from a Division or Two below who's still coming through, 18 years old, impressing people, who's got a few dozen games already, first-team games under the belt. I think you'd have to think long and hard about going for the academy kid over the one who's already got that much experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about Morpeth, and I'll come to you, Simo. Just to say, Mark Carruthers, he picked Joe Walton in his list, who's been at the club for ages and scores so many goals. But the same could be said for your selection, Sean Taylor, who's been actually at the club longer than Joe Walton has and has scored more goals than Joe Walton has. I mean, why Sean Taylor?
Well, he's just one of their longest-serving players, isn't he? I mean, absolutely excellent in the game that Witten played up there. Scored a couple of goals that day. I mean, they've got so many options in the final third, more, but it's a little bit frightening, and they continue to add to it. So Taylor might not be kind of seen as a proper out-and-out winger because he can play down the middle as well, but that day he kind of... Both of his goals were drifting in from the left to arrive and then score at the far post, and you can see how he scores so many goals. He's got that instinct. He also has got a good understanding with the other guys that play in attack for them, because the way that they all link up together was really, really impressive. And so that was just why it was just one of those names that you scribble down and go, yeah, he's done the business. He's been really impressive. And that's why I wanted just to give him a shout out. And Morpeth, absolutely one to watch next season, by the way.
All credit to those two players we mentioned as well, because they've been with them on this meteoric rise and are still punching well and truly at their weight, maybe even below their weight. I mean, it is... You know, quite impressive that squad that Nick's had there at the club for so many seasons. Berke, I need you to do me a favour. Put your Scarborough hat on. Tell us.
It's just in the other room.
Oh, that's a shame. I'll come to Simo then. Simo, you've gone with Michael Coulson.
I haven't.
You have?
No, I did.
Oh, Berke. Berke, you've gone with Michael Coulson, who I've got an interesting fact about Michael Coulson. He played for the original Scarborough club. Why have you picked Michael Coulson?
Because he's still doing it. It took the arrival of Darren Kelly to really ignite his season, because before then, Scarborough as a whole were flat and the big players, they just weren't firing at all. They were trying, but just for whatever reason, it wouldn't click for him. Darren Kelly comes in and the entire ethos of the place changed. The attitude of the club changed overnight, practically, and the results started coming. Big names started playing properly, and even the players you wouldn't necessarily expect to play at the top of the game were really coming out of the shell. And Michael Coulson, top player to begin with, and he was hitting top form in the second half of the season. And he's still 32, so he's got a few years left in him. And I expect him, presuming he's going to stay at Scarborough, and no reason he won't, because I think he's contracted until the end of next season anyway, isn't he? But I'm fully expecting him to continue in that same vein next campaign.
Birkie, I'll come to you for Nantwich Town. Joe Masilla, in your list. Quick, skillful, four seasons at the club. Why have you picked him?
Because he's quick, he's skillful, he's had four seasons at the club.
I've never seen him have a bad game, really.
That's the crux of it, Teagot. That's the absolute crux of it. He's a rarity among wingers in that he's consistent. He's not necessarily always on bang on top of his game, but it's very rare you see him just drift out of the match for 70 or 80 minutes, then pop up for the last five. No, he's there at all times. He tries to make things happen. He'll come in field if he has to. He won't just sort of lurk sort of in the cold on that pitch they've got in front of the ice cream van sign. No, he's a proper winger who gets involved in the game and tries to make things happen. And he's got Football League experience. You can see that from his days down at Morecambe. And I think he's top-notch. I really do.
Mark picked Joe as well at Nantwich, just to say. Let's talk about Lancaster, because they've got the Bailey brothers, Charlie and Sam, who don't just play wing. They can play midfield, they can play full-back, they play forward, they play all over the place.
Does that discount them then, to be honest?
Yes,
talking about wingers.
Yes, but that, I mean, that was, Simo, could I talk to you about Lancaster City? Because
if you want.
We're getting towards the end of these shows now, but Lancaster haven't really featured in, they've not got a player in our list at the moment, and I am going to lobby heavily for Cowperthwaite next week when we talk about central midfielders. But
actually, can I just say I have lobbied for Lancaster players to be included. I had Sam Ashton was on my shortlist for the goalkeepers, and then I was able to unleash my nominative determinism joke when I wanted Steel. Glenn Steele to be in the central defender line. So I have done my little bit, and there's a couple of other guys in coming weeks as well that I'd like to campaign for. But isn't that just an indication, though, that Lancaster kind of the team is more than the sum of its parts, perhaps, and that's been their biggest triumph under Mark Fell this season. And that's not to say there aren't good individuals in there, because clearly there are. But I do wonder if that is some of the other teams we look at in the playoff that finish in the playoff positions are. Got genuine star quality in some positions that maybe Lancaster don't, but they more than make up for that with kind of their cohesion and the way that they all the different pieces fit together.
And sheer hard work as well.
James, I'll come to you for Baseford, because you picked Kane Richards. We could also mention James Reid as well. But Kane Richards has picked up the bulk of the votes from this panel. Why Kane Richards?
I think just again, driving force behind the team at this moment in time. Again, Richards, one of them that every week you can see him feeding the ball through to James Reid, that similar sort of player. And again, you look at what was in the background for him as well to keep Tyrese out of the team. So that's quite a lot. Next season, if them two can get on form nice and early, basically going to have a hell of a forward plan that anyone's going to be scared of.
Well, Simo, he has signed an extension to keep him at the club for next season as well. 11 goals he scored out this past season. Basically haven't scored that many goals, so you know that's pretty strong showing there from Kane.
Yeah, I love Richards. I remember when he kind of burst onto the scene when he was one of the young players off that conveyor belt that Kev Wilson had for a little while at Ilkeston. They seemed to kind of produce gem after gem after gem, and when he had their team riding high. Got to the playoff final, of course, where they played Curzon Ashton when Curzon Ashton got promoted, and Richards was kind of was very much part of that team then. And in fact, his form for Ilkeston earned him a move to Chester, where he played for Steve Burr for a little while. So he was overplaying in the Northwest. I saw him play a few times for them as well. So then he had a little spell at Kiddy, and then ended up at Baseford. And to contribute double figure goals from a wide position is superb going, and he is very much an important part of Steve Chettle's plans going forward, as you just said, because he's signed for next season. I think he's absolute quality, and he'll obviously look to try and get to the next level with Baseford next season, and I think they've got a great chance, by the way, but I think he will find his way back up the levels again.
Speaking of players who've been retained for next season, Jack McGrath at Warrington.
He's been a paragon of non-league wing play for the last decade. Since he dropped into non-league 10 years ago nearly, with Hyde United, he joined us very briefly from Tranmere Rovers, helped us stay up in the Conference North as it was then. He only played some like half a dozen games. Came in actually the same time as Callum Byrne. Hyde wanted to re-sign him the next season, but he went on to the bigger and better things with Barrow. Moved around the upper echelons of non-league ever since, and then came to Warrington a couple of seasons back, and he's not let up at all. He's been an outstanding player for Warrington. He's been an outstanding player for Macclesfield and Barrow and Wrexham. Yeah, he's just a great non-league winger, and he's still, 28, something like that. Got a few years left in him, and yeah, long may he continue. He's a great player to watch.
Speaking of great players to watch, come to you, Swamper. I've not had your top five, by the way, so I can't really say if you've picked these players or not. But FC United have got two wingers who are they're your archetype of wingers in that they're when they're on it, they're brilliant. Regan Linney, Charlie Ennis. How good are those two?
Well, I noticed that Regan Linney was in pretty much everybody's list. Undoubtedly, he's had great, great games and he's got absolute great talent. But I want to make sure that he doesn't get involved in the argy-bargy as he does on too many occasions. I want to see him play 90 minutes of sort of football. We just talked about a player who, for the last decade, has been absolutely outstanding week in, week out. We talked about another player who, Nantwich, that gives you 90 minutes, doesn't hide in the game. He's just basically there, you know, and works and works and works. And I think Regan, if he can add that next season to his game, he's going to be outstanding. He has been superb, but I think he has still got a huge amount. He's only a young lad, don't get me wrong, but he's got a huge amount to improve upon. And when he brings all that together next season, I think Neil next season knows what he needs to do with him. He's going to be ultimately probably player of the season next season because he's got all that talent in the world. And then just going on to Charlie Ennis, he's a very grounded young man and he is such a good impact player. He really is. He's one of those players that, if he starts off the game well, he'll play well for 90 minutes. If he starts off the game indifferently, he's not that effectual. But when if he comes off the bench, he changes games. He can whip the balls in. He's got great fire shooting capacity. The balls he spreads left and right are outstanding. He gets down the byline. He's got a bit of pace and he can whip the ball in. So again, Charlie's not more, for me, isn't really a winger.
Yeah,
I mean,
but with Regan, he's
a number 10 as well, can't he? And be very effective. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Burke, I was going to say, I mean, that's just the archetypal Flair winger, though, isn't it? They come in and out of games, they come in and out of spells in the season. They go with the wind before they change the direction of the wind.
Yeah, there is that. But with Regan Linney, the NPL is all that he's known. He came through the youth team at Bamber Bridge, and he's never played outside the Northern Premier League. He doesn't know what it's like to be with a Premier League academy side or anything like that. And he's working his way up through the game. And it'll be interesting to see how far he can go. And there's no doubt he can play either. No doubt about that whatsoever.
And finally, South Shields. South Shields don't really play wingers, do they? They have that weird diamond formation thing in midfield. But
what do you mean, weird diamond thing? It works. I know it works,
but I'm not qualified enough to talk through the intricacies of that formation and how it all works. So
there's only one of us here that is a qualified coach, so we should hand over to the one and only.
Excuse me. I am.
That's what I was saying. You are you.
Oh, John Shaw played 11 until Christmas, and he's a defender. Josh Gillies scored 8 goals this season, but he played 10, 7, and 11. So, I mean, you could mention Nathan Lowe, I suppose, if you wanted to. I mean,
they've got Lee Mason as well, but Mason's been in and out of the team, and he obviously was a wide player at Blyth Spartans and has played on the flanks for South Shields as well. Gillies has been a wide player earlier in his career, but you're right. The management team at South Shields seem to really fancy him as playing just off either a front two or off Gilchrist up front on his own, so he's not actually played out wide that often for South Shields.
I mean, when we played against them, I mean, certainly up at South Shields, they do get the ball out wide. You know, I know, but from the goalkeeper, he's always looking to roll the ball out or put it out to the wing backs, and they play the ball out wide, and they play the ball over the top wide, left and right. But they don't play with that out and out wingers. They've got the the wing backs really sort of like quite high line, allowing the players, so they're getting a natural wingers without actually having natural wingers. And I'd say when they're on the game, they play some absolutely terrific football. They're having that width and then getting the ball in. I mean,
if memory serves, they had that lad, was he from Sunderland? Mumba. But he'd only played a couple of games at that point. But he looked pretty special, didn't he, when he came on, when he played in that game?
Well, he actually has captained Sunderland and played at the Stadium of Light. So, you know, he's only 19 years of age and coming to play for South Shields, should have been against the rules. You shouldn't allow an ex-Premier League football club to have their players playing against you.
Ben, just to add on to that as well, Darius Olsen, he started off as a winger at Stalybridge. He knows what the position's all about. So if he needs to fill in, should they need to have a tweak of formation, he's a natural fit.
That's our deliberation. Let's get into the actual list. I don't think we should be that fussy about can a left winger play right wing, can a right winger play left winger. Let's just go with the players we've got and try and make it fit. Ali Wadika's got 3 votes.
He's got to be in. He's got to be in.
I'd have him in the team, so there you go. There's 4 votes.
All right, Wadika's in then. Kane Richards has got 3 votes. Regan Linney.
I'd have him as well. So.
Oh, there we go. Good. Thanks for joining us, everyone. There we go. Any disagreement? Go on.
Yeah, I'd you know, for right and left, I would vote for Paddy.
Paddy Lane.
I'd put Paddy Lane in there as well, really.
I can't vote for Paddy on account of him being Hyde United. It wouldn't be fair. But if I was a fan of another club, Berkey, I would, of course, be voting for Paddy Lane.
Don't worry about, you know, lobbying for your club. You know, other people have done it behind the scenes in the past couple of weeks. Not me, but other people.
Can you say Paddy Lane is more effective than Kane Richards is?
I'm not going to argue if we go with Richards because I picked him, but I just like, you know, young, exciting, future.
Oh, Berkey, can we say Paddy Lane's shone in a team that's been all right this season, not been firing all cylinders, whereas Kane Richards has been in, he's been in Basford United's team.
Yeah, exactly. And can Kane Richards score direct from corners week after week?
Can I throw in another player who we might have missed in these deliberations, and that's Joe Masilla at Nantwich? Because he's been consistent all the way through.
Yeah, he's got to be at least on the bench.
Yeah.
We're not doing substitutes.
He's a cracking player. Right. But then we can leave Regan Linney out, can't we? And we can leave Charlie Ellis out. Who else was there on the list?
Well, how many votes did he get?
We got Ben Hardcastle got 2 votes each. Regan Linney got 2 votes each. And Charlie Ennis got 2 votes each.
Okay, fair enough. So, well, you got discounted because basically, based upon the voting system, so...
It's a tough one.
He's a young lad, and as you've said, lots of scouts have watched him this season. There's a potential of him maybe moving on to a higher league club this season. So I think as an accolade for him in this season, as a young lad, I think personally, Lane needs to be in the team.
Okay. I'm going to vote for Lane. I did have a Basford player last week. Whenever it was with Galinski, so I think we have a high.
Well, I'll vote for Lane. I'll vote for Lane as well. And I think Richards, yeah, fantastic.
Can I throw in another point? And that's about Ali Wadika, in the fact that in the Jamie Milligan era, he's been a substitute for most of it.
Oh, that's a good point.
So
I still think he's a shoo-in. He's got well into double figures again. He also broke the appearances record for Bamber Bridge this season as well, which is unbelievable, 450 games for any club. I mean, I know I said in the message, you know, Wadika every year is brilliant, so we take him for granted. And I think there's an element of that. You know, we just assume he's going to score 15, 20 goals because that's what he's always done. But he's now obviously stepped up in the last couple of years and, yeah, he's 20 plus goals last season in his first full season at this level for Bamber Bridge as well. I mean, sustained excellence is valid to put that forward as a reason to have him in. I think he's just outstanding.
I would have Lane and Linney. I think that would be an awesome left and right. I think those two together would be outstanding. They would terrorise defences with their pace and their quality. And the thing is, they could both switch. And ultimately, that's what you want with your wingers, so you could actually switch them over. So youth, for me, for them two, I think that's what I'd be going for. Linney and Lane, Absolutely wonderful. And also, next season, the players look out for one of the Smiths that plays for FC, because one of them's an out-and-out winger that plays like Carlos Rocca.
I'm going to say we've gone with Waddy Carr in Lane.
Yeah.
Linney in Lane.
Okay, I'm putting my foot down. I can't hear you, Swampy. You're breaking up.
I was about a combination we've not tried yet. Kane Richards and Paddy Lane.
Ben, you might have to have a casting vote here. I know it goes against what you want to, you know, you might have to break the deadlock.
Casting vote, I'm going to say Waddicker and Lane there.
Yeah.
Right.
That's reasonable.
So, joining Ollie Martin in goal, Jordan Hunter at right back, Adam Dodd at left back, Kieran Waleji and Stefan Galinski at centre half. On the right wing, we've got Alistair Waddicker, and on the left, Paddy Lane. Thank you, lads. That was borderline informative, that was. That was good. Anyway, just a disclaimer, this doesn't mean anything. This was just an excuse for us five to catch up and have a chat about football and stuff. And all the stuff that got edited out eventually. So, James, a big thank you for joining us all the way from Social Media Towers, all the way from Belgium. A big thank you to Swampe.
Cheers.
A big thank you to Andrew Simpson, Cheshire reporter of all things non-league football and bowls.
And bowls, very important.
And Burke, 26-0, big thank you for joining us. And we'll be back next week to discuss central midfielders. Yes. Ooh. But in the meantime, you all have a lovely and safe week. And you'll be hearing from us again next weekend. Bye-bye.